burning, yet not consumed. Our text for this morning is the verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. 40 years prior to this meeting with the angel of the Lord, Moses had taken matters into his own hands with regard to Israel's deliverance. But he was quickly made to realize that it was neither the tactic which he had employed, nor was it the time for Moses to act. Instead, God's servants had to wait 40 years before God would send him forth to be Israel's deliverer. Instead of waiting for God's time, Moses acted with haste when he slew the Egyptian whom he saw one day smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, Exodus 2 verse 11. But Moses had to learn, indeed as we all have to from time to time, the truth of the words spoken by the prophet, "He that believeth shall not make haste." Isaiah 28 verse 16. But now, 40 years later, God's time had come to deliver the afflicted Israelites. Yet the Lord's time had come and Moses would be the man. Yes, he would be the man whom God would use to lead the exodus of Israelites out of Egypt. But we know that before anyone goes forth to serve the Lord, that individual must meet with God. And God must meet with that individual. And so before Moses went forth to lead Israel out of Egypt, Moses met with God in the backside of the desert. And here in the verses we have read, we have the account of that meeting between Moses and the angel of the Lord. We read there in our text. And what Moses saw that day arrested him, because, as we read, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. I want, first of all, to consider the appearance of the bush. The appearance. We are told about the appearance of the bush. There was Moses in the backside of the desert, and he came to Mount Horeb, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. There's the appearance of the bush. We may wonder why the Lord appeared unto Moses in this way. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses out of the midst of a bush. He appeared unto Moses in this fashion, in a flame of fire, And yet the bush was not burned. There are many things that we can learn from this appearance of the angel of the Lord there in the bush on the backside of the desert. But what I want to do this morning is to look at that bush. And as you look at the bush there that burned in that desert place, we see there in the bush a likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may wonder, well, how can that be? Well, that's what we want to look at and see the likeness, or certainly a type of Christ here in the bush. Notice, first of all, the place. Moses, we are told, led the flock to the backside of the desert. That's where Moses was. He was in a desert place. So there in that dry, arid ground, Moses saw a bush growing there in that dry place. When speaking about the Lord Jesus, you remember what the prophet said? He shall grow up as a tender plant, what? Out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And here we have a bush growing in the desert place, just like that root out of a dry ground. That's how the prophet Isaiah described the Lord Jesus, as the root out of a dry ground. Just like that bush burning there growing there as the root out of a dry ground. That sets forth for us the humility of the Lord Jesus, that he would be likened on to a root out of a dry ground. The humility of the Lord, of course, was seen from he entered into the world as God manifest in flesh. In his birth, he was born not in a palace, but in a manger. That humility is seen in what we might say his background. That is, he was born into a poor home. His earthly parents were poor. For when they went up to Jerusalem for the Passover, they couldn't afford a lamb. And so they brought two turtle doves. And the Lord had allowed the poor, who couldn't afford a lamb or a bullock, they were to offer two turtle doves. That's what Mary and Joseph did, indicating their poverty. You think also, with regard to his humility, it's seen in his behavior. Something which the Apostle Paul emphasized. You turn, please, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Now we read in Philippians 2 and verse 7 and 8. But made himself, this is the Lord Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humbled himself. And so there you have Christ and his humility. And that humility was to be seen in everything that he did, in everything that he said, and everywhere he went. He's the root out of a dry ground. Speaking to us of his humility. But then, as well as the place of the bush, we notice it was a particular bush. It is interesting that the Hebrew word for bush, the Hebrew word is sene. And that Hebrew word means thorny bush. So this was a particular bush. And the Spirit of God has recorded it in this way to tell us what kind of a bush it was. It was a thorny bush. So the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the midst of a thorny bush. This is interesting. The fact that it was a thorny bush would remind us, first of all, of the curse. It would remind us of the curse that was brought upon men, all of mankind, when Adam and Eve broke God's commandment and fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. And what was the result? We read in Genesis 3 in verses 17 and 18, "And unto Adam he said," that is the Lord said, "because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." Thorns also and thistle shall it bring forth to thee. And so we can see clearly that thorns are associated with the curse of God. Thorns remind us of the curse because of Adam's sin. And sin has brought the curse of God upon all of mankind. That's something we should remember. Because of man's sin, the curse of God hangs over their head. And at any moment, that wrath of God can fall upon any individual. So the thorns speak to us of the curse because we're told in Romans 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the curse of a holy God is upon every man and woman because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The thorns not only remind us of the curse, but this thorny bush reminds us also of the cross. You recall the number of times that the enemies of the Lord sought to take him and kill him. Even at the very commencement of his earthly ministry, when he ministered in the synagogue in Nazareth, they were amazed at the words, the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. But then as he began to preach the word, they turned against him. And what did they want to do with him? We're told they led him onto the brow of the hill, whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Luke 4, verse 29. And so the enemies of the Lord sought to kill the Lord by casting him down the side of a hill. Others wanted to stone him to death. Well, no, he wouldn't be stoned to death. And he wouldn't be killed at a hill. Certainly not the hill upon which Nazareth was built. But he would die on another hill. And that hill, of course, is the hill called Calvary. He wouldn't be stoned to death. He wouldn't be cast down the side of a hill. Instead, he would be crucified to a wooden cross. And we read in John 3, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And there's the Lord, and he's prophesying as to how he would die. It wouldn't be by stoning. He wouldn't be cast down the side of a hill or any other way. The Lord said he will be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He wouldn't be cast down the side of hell. He'd be lifted up on a cross. That's the way it was to be. It didn't matter what man tried to do to Christ. It didn't matter how they sought to kill him. Whether it was by stoning, or whether it was casting him down the side of a hill, it had been prophesied that Christ would die on the cross. It had to be. And I'll tell you why. Turn over to Galatians. Galatians, the chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Remember what we said? Curse of God rests upon all sinners. Christ hath redeemed us, verse 13, Galatians 3, from the curse of the law. Listen, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. For it is written, where is it written? Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. So there you have the prophecy with regard to the death of Christ. The Lord Jesus must die on a tree because he came into the world to save men from the curse of a holy God. And for the Lord to do that, he must take the sinner's place. He must bear the curse of God himself if he's to save others from the curse. And Deuteronomy 21, 23 says, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree. And the Lord Jesus went to the cross and he was made a curse for us. And so you look there at the burning bush. It's a thorny bush, reminding us of the curse, reminding us of the cross. For the word cursed, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That word curse means one upon whom a curse lies. One upon whom a curse lies. So there's Christ, and he was nailed to the cross. And Christ bore the curse for us. So the curse of God doesn't fall on us, because Christ hath redeemed us. Instead, the curse fell upon Christ. The wrath of God that was due us who were saved, the wrath was poured out upon Christ. One upon whom a curse lies, and it lay on Christ. The thorny bush reminds us then of the curse, reminds us of the cross, reminds us of something else, this thorny bush. It reminds us of the crown. The crown. Because you remember when the Lord Jesus was arrested and he faced that mock trial and was sentenced to death. We remember what the Roman soldiers did when they took him. They stripped him of his own garments, put a purple robe on him, put a reed in his hand, and they put a crown on his head. But what did they make that crown with? It was a crown of thorns, reminding us again of the curse. And they plaited a crown of thorns, and they placed it upon his head, and the reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked him. And there the dear Saviour stood with that crown of thorns upon his head, emphasizing again that there at Calvary, the Lord Jesus had the curse poured out upon him. And while the Roman soldiers used that crown of thorns to mock Christ, in a way, we can rejoice, because what that tells us and what that reminds us of is this, that the curse fell on the Lord and not on us. There was no crown for him of silver or of gold. There was no diadem for him to hold. But blood adorned his brow, and pride its stains he bore, and sinners gave to him the crown he wore. And it was a crown of thorns, reminding us of the curse. So we have the place of the bush, in the desert place. We're told it was a particular bush, a thorny bush. Then we notice also it was a peculiar bush. This bush would have been like any other. Any other bush that grew in that area where Moses led the flock. Yes, it was the same as any other bush. And yet, it was different. You ever use that expression? Well, it's the same, but different. Well, that's true of this bush. It was the same as any other bush in that desert place, but it was different. Because when Moses looked upon the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. That's what made it different. Moses could have led the flock through the desert place and would never see another bush like that one. Because the bush burned with fire, but wasn't consumed. This reminds us once again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this a great book? The things that you discover in the Bible. This bush reminds us again of the Savior, because he was in one way like all men. He was like every man. And yet, he was different. We read in Romans, chapter 8, and there in the verse 3. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son, listen, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. God sent forth his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That simply means he was made in the likeness of you and me. We are sinful flesh. So Christ was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. We read earlier on in Philippians 2 verse 7 that the Lord Jesus became man, just like you and me. So he's the same as you and I, but he's different. He's the same as us, but he's different. How is he different? Hebrews 4 verse 15. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. There's the difference. Yet without sin. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was made in the likeness of man, but he was without sin. There's the difference. And just as Moses could have wandered for miles around that desert area, he would not have seen a bush like this as it burned with fire and was not consumed. And you and I can travel this world over and we'll never find another person like Christ. Moses would have looked upon that bush and he may have seen a bush like it elsewhere. But this one was different because it burned with fire and yet was not consumed. And we look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, made in the likeness of man, yet without sin. That's the difference. He suffered as man suffered, but he was without sin. He sorrowed as man sorrow, yet without sin. He sobbed or he wept as men do, yet without sin. He slept as men sleep, yet without sin. He thirsted, he hungered, he was tired, as men do, because he was made in the likeness of men, yet he's without sin. There's the difference. And you recall at his examination, at his mock trial, what did Pilate say? I find no fault in this man. That's what makes Christ different in that sense, because there is in him no fault whatsoever. He's like us because he's made in the likeness of men, but he's without sin. So we've noted the appearance of the bush. Next, we notice the attractiveness of the bush. Once again, Isaiah said, he shall grow up as out of a dry ground, as a root out of a dry ground, hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Sure, dear believer, you remember those days when in your unregenerate state, the Lord Jesus, you've heard about him, you sat under the preaching about him, but he held no attraction for you. There was no beauty that you should desire him. But then that was only until the Lord, by his grace, opened your eyes and opened my eyes. And then we looked upon Christ. And that's what made the difference. When our eyes were opened and we first saw the Lord, by faith, we saw him as our substitute on the cross, and to a dying sinner, when his eyes have been opened, Christ is never more lovely than when that sinner sees Christ on the cross as that sinner's substitute. And you see him by faith. And here we see what happened when Moses saw this particular burning bush. We're told, first of all, Moses was drawn to the bush. Do you see? Verse 3. We read, Moses said, I will now turn aside. Turn aside from what he was doing and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. Moses turned aside from what he was doing and was attracted to the bush. Here we are reminded once again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember what the Lord said, John 12, verse 32. Listen. He said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. There's the drawing power of Christ. Just like the bush in the wilderness. The bush drew Moses to it, reminding us of the Lord Jesus and how men are drawn to Christ. That's what the Lord said. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. It's the drawing power of Christ. Sure, during the Lord's earthly ministry, multitudes were drawn to him. Individuals were drawn to him. Nicodemus was drawn to him. Jairus was drawn to him. Bartimaeus was drawn to him. Drawn to Christ. Lepers were drawn to Christ. The diseased of all kinds were drawn to the Lord Jesus. As the Savior himself said, John 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him to Christ, to no one else. And I will raise him up at the last day. We know the Song of Solomon. We're familiar with it. Preached from it many times. We know how it's primarily about the bride and the bridegroom. Well, the bride says to her beloved, or the bride says to the bridegroom, draw me, and I will run after thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. When Moses saw the bush, he was drawn to it. He turned aside to see this great sight. There's something else. Moses was drawn to the bush. Notice Moses and his description of the bush. How did he describe it? He said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. That's how he described the bush. Described it as a great sight. Here we are once again reminded of our dear Savior. Even in those words, we're reminded of Christ. Gabriel told Mary about the Christ child that she would bear. And what did he say about the Christ child? He shall be great. Now what Moses said about the bush, he said it was a great sight. Gabriel said of the Christ child, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. Look at 1 verse 32. Then the word great is used to describe the Lord Jesus again. This time Luke 7 verse 16. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. They had just witnessed the miracle working power of the Lord Jesus, and that's how they described him, as a great prophet. There's the word great again. But that's not all. Paul, speaking about the Savior, used that word great again. Paul said, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, as we went through those three verses, I wonder, did you notice something? Yes, the word great would link them all together, but there's something else that links them together and reveals the Lord Jesus to us. The first reference we gave was Luke 1, verse 32. Gabriel said, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne." So he's a great king. He will have the throne of David. So he's a great king. Now Luke 7, verse 16. "And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen." So he's a great king, and he's a great prophet. All right. And what did Paul say? "We have a great high priest." Isn't that something? It's not just a little precious gem there, as it were. There you have the three offices of Christ, the three offices that the Lord occupies. He's prophet, he's priest, and he's king. He's a great prophet, he's a great priest, and glory to God, he's a great king. Everything about him, he's great. As well as that, Titus 2, verse 13 is a great God. Hebrews 13, verse 20, he's the great shepherd. And when we look upon the Lord Jesus, we undoubtedly behold a great sight. Moses said, "I will turn aside and see this great sight." You know, we should do the same. We should turn aside from what usually occupies our time and the things that we see. We should turn aside like Moses and see this great sight, the one who's prophet, who's priest, and who's king. Praise the Lord. Moses was drawn to the bush. We have Moses' description of the bush. And then we have Moses and his disbelief at the bush. For Moses saw something which he had never seen before and couldn't believe what he saw. We look again at our text. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed." Fire. The bush was burning. But it didn't burn away. It didn't become ash. "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight." Why? The bush is not burnt. In other words, he couldn't believe what he was seeing. And I think we would be the same, no doubt. If we saw a bush burning, we would expect it to be reduced to ashes in no time, but no. Ardent sed verens, burning, but not consumed. And that again speaks to us of the Lord. Moses looked upon the bush and he couldn't believe what he saw. And you take those incidents, you study the Gospels yourself. Those times that people looked upon Christ and they couldn't believe what they saw. Take the disciples in the ship on Galilee, and a storm broke upon them. The Lord was asleep. And they went and they awoke him. Said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Listen. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Listen. And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? They couldn't believe what they saw. Couldn't believe it. They were amazed. Matthew chapter 12. Only giving a couple of examples. Matthew 12 and verse 22. And there was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. Listen. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? They were amazed. The word amazed there is the word to be astonished. In other words, they couldn't believe what they had just seen. Moses looked on the bush and he couldn't believe what he saw. The Savior left people amazed and in a state of disbelief at what they saw him do. And what a wonderful, truly wonderful Savior we have, who is still doing things which amaze us. We have considered the appearance of the bush, the attractiveness of the bush, and just one point, and I'm finished. You have the appeal out of the bush. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Here we have, first of all, a revelation. The angel of the Lord was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's right. None other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by one of his pre-incarnation appearances, known as a theophany. The Lord Jesus appearing before he was born in Bethlehem. And he appeared in the burning bush. And I want you to notice what verse 4 says. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. So we're told about the angel of the Lord. But then the angel of the Lord is referred to here as Lord. Verse 4, notice Lord is capitalized. And he turned aside to see, God called him. So the angel of the Lord is called, not only the angel of the Lord, he's called Lord and he's called God. The Lord spoke, Jehovah spoke to Moses that day. Out of the burning bush, the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And what did Hebrews 12 verse 29 say? Said God is a consuming fire. And there the fire burned that day, but it wasn't consumed. That reminds us of Christ. Listen. You recall when Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel confronted the false prophets of Baal, you remember? He said, Well, put your God to the test, and my God, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. You remember what they did? They built an altar. Elijah built the altar and the wood and doused it in water and prayed. And the fire fell. And the fire of heaven fell. You can read about it in 1 Kings 18. The fire fell from heaven. And what did it say? It says it consumed the sacrifice. All right? The fire fell, consumed the sacrifice. There's nothing left. We look at the burning bush. And the fire of God is burning on it, but it's not consumed. That brings us to the cross again. We have already learned about the curse of God, the fire of God falling upon Christ as he hung on the cross. The fire fell on Christ. The fire fell on the sacrifice of Calvary. But the fire didn't consume the sacrifice on the cross. What happened instead? Christ consumed the fire. The fire didn't consume the bush. Neither did the fire consume Christ. What a tremendous study this is. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts. May we think about it today. Think about what we have learned from the scriptures. Meditate upon it. And no doubt it will bless your heart again. Let's bow in prayer. O dear Lord and loving Father, we bless thee for the truth of thy word. For thy word is truth. Lord, take up thy word, I pray, to bless our own hearts, to make us, Lord, students of the word, to encourage us to study the word ourselves, and to look for the Lord Jesus. Dear Lord, be with us now as we part the house of God. Thank thee again for all who have been able to make it today. Remembering, Lord, those who were not able, be with them and bless them. We pray, our God, weather is fine, that all will be back again tonight to learn more about the Lord Jesus. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.